Support made possible by Strategic Farm Marketing. Strategic's annual series of crop insurance and grain marketing meetings are currently underway across the Midwest. Go to www.sfarmmarketing.com. to register for a meeting near you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of January 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will be here from Risk Pulse in Chicago to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. We'll hear more about the impact of the Wuhan coronavirus event on the world economy and how it is playing out in the futures market with University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs. And we'll check the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Visit our website, willag.org. If you scroll down, you'll find the agenda for the All-Day Ag Outlook. This event has been happening since 1991. Tickets go on sale soon. Check it out today and put it on your calendar.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, in Chicago, here the way the numbers finished up for the day. The March corn down 6¾ at $3.80½. The May at $3.86¾, 6 cents lower. July down at $3.92¼, down 5½. And September 4 lower at $3.91¾. That December at $3.94¼, down 3 cents. I'll catch that March one more time. Down 6¾ again, that lead option at $3.80½ for the corn. March soybeans 4¾ lower, $8.97¼ the settled price. May at $9.11, 4¾ lower. July down 5 at $9.24½, and November beans at $9.33½, 5¼ lower. The bean oil futures for the day settled 50 cents lower at $31.52. Bean meal at $2.97.80, down 50 cents as well. March wheat futures $1.20, or rather, penny and a quarter lower for the day. It finished at $5.72¼. July at $5.70¾, down 2¼. Live cattle futures down $2.60 at $122.25 for the day. In the February, January feeders at $141.90, up a nickel for the afternoon. However, the March and the rest of them were lower, down $4.50 of that March contract at $135.17½, and lean hogs down $3 in the April at $70.45. Some of the outside markets, crude oil $1.21 lower, ethanol futures down about 0.7 cents, heating oil 5 cents lower for the day. That's diesel fuel. Gasoline down 3¼ cents, and natural gas just about 0.1 cents lower. Dow Jones Industrial Average off around 400 points. The U.S. dollar is up 0.115, and the gold futures for the day up $7.10. Now joining us to take a look at some of these numbers and what they mean to the marketplace is Kurt Kimmel. He's out of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Hey, thanks for being with us, Kurt. It's kind of a wicked weekend with the coronavirus beginning to spread, and that's had some initial reaction in Chicago. Corn took it on the chin today. Was that all about coronavirus or something else?
A lot of uncertainty. If you go back to 2002, we had the SARS, then 2009, the bird flu. And, you know, when there's some uncertainty, investor and consumer confidence tends to subside. Seems like corn was a little bit unfair on it. I think it was probably part of the spread activity. Corn exports are supposedly still relatively slow for the most part. Even though the shipments were within expectations, right in the middle of the range of 668,000 tons, and, you know, we're still moving it. But, you know, January, February, March is big corn demand, and we're at some levels which will hopefully stimulate some interest on the world scale for the most part.
What did you make of Friday afternoon's cattle on feed report?
It was as expected. No real shocker. I think when you look at today's price action, is mainly the fear that the virus has made it here to the U.S., and that would happen to spread here in the U.S., it would really curb restaurant demand. Americans like to go out to eat, and a large portion of proteins moved at the restaurant level. And if something would happen there that that would slow down. That would really cut back on the demand. And plus, too, if you look at a price chart, the cattle complex has been consolidating at the upper end of the range in through here. It does have kind of a head and shoulders top formation, and we've broken out to the downside here. And it's a matter of backing and filling and meeting some downside price objectives. You know, same thing on the pork side of the equation. We've got lots and lots of pork around. We had optimism that we would see quite a bit of pork exported to China here as we go into this summer. Well, this virus keeps everybody in quarantine for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, and also spreading around the world and slows this demand sector. That could be a concern with the abundance of red meat we have around to consume. It's going to have to go to the freezer here for a while. Wheat saw China go to Australia to buy wheat. That cost the trade-off guard there. That was kind of a dinger. And even though it is world consumption, there was ideas that we would gain some of that. But wheat came back nicely on the day. Even though wheat's been overbought here for a while, it closed almost 13 cents off its low. So if wheat wants to regain leadership and help stabilize everything, we'll welcome that event.
Speaking of leadership, to the downside at least, it looks to be corn at this point, and it gapped lower last night. Didn't fill that gap today, I don't think, did it?
No, that would be a price target to look for on the rebound here. We are searching for some cycle lows in through here, so maybe that'll give reason for the market to go back and try to fill that gap. But you take last week's lows, the prior week's low, and this last week's high, we're still in the trading range we've been in for almost 3 months. So it's going to be kind of important for March corn to hold this 375 area. I look for the market to go back and make an attempt to fill that gap here by midweek.
So what are you watching for this week to happen? And I'm wondering whether Washington, D.C. and the impeachment trial has much of an impact, whether the Dow Jones Industrial Average is something you're watching, whether potentially the price of crude oil, because it has dropped, is one of those things that might cap the top side.
Yeah, crude oil is around this $52 level. If you go back to this last fall, we found fairly good support in this $50 to $51 level. So if we can come down here and find some support, I would think that'd be the lower end. You start moving crude oil below the $50 benchmark, you start to take out the profitability of some of this fracking taking place in some areas and even the sands. So we get down to those levels, I would think we'd see some stability in the whole thing. Stock market, man, it's had a huge run this past year with the uncertainty of what's going on, not only here in the U.S. worldwide, it's probably due to back and fill. The Dow got as low as 28.4. They're kind of looking for some support in the Dow futures closer to the 2800 level. This stability for the market to stabilize today, hopefully, you know, we can kind of regain a little bit of confidence in here and see some recovery here as we move into midweek.
What did farmers ask mostly today? I suspect they were thinking if they either marketed some corn, that they were hoping to market some more again this week, and now they'll have to pull that back in.
Yeah, we didn't hear too much today. They all saw their phones and saw it was down, and that's the last thing they wanted to look at here down Monday. We're getting back in the routines where Mondays are down, and hopefully the rest of the guys the rest of the week will have some up markets to talk about. But the thing we did see today was for those who did move some cash grain, looking at some replacement strategies, mainly options. The option volatility is relatively low, and there's some fairly decent buys out there. As far as selling, we did not see any panic selling. If you are concerned about further erosion, I would recommend looking at a put option, put a price floor on it instead of actually letting the physical commodity go at this point in time. We kind of believe the overall fundamental picture hasn't really changed a whole lot. and that between now and this spring that we'll probably be caught in a trading range here, and the key is kind of be patient. Using the ups when you get feeling good to move it. Use the downs when you don't feel so good about it to do some replacements.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's Double Whammy Monday, and we're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Lots happening over the weekend, Todd. A couple of things I think you've written about on the Farm Doc Daily website. Folks can find this article now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. As it pertains to soybeans, both the size of the crop in Brazil and the coronavirus, one which we can get a handle on the other, which just seems unprecedented and outside the scope of what we've seen before.
Yeah, it is bad. I mean, I call the article Soybean Prices Need Good News, but I almost called it When It Rains, It Pours, because that's what it felt like last week. We had what sounds like a monster crop coming out of Brazil. Reports out of early yields in Mato Grosso are 10% or more above last year's yield levels. Now, there's still some issues in the south and the northern part, and they still need some good weather, but above a 4.5 billion bushel crop's looking assured almost at this point. On top of that, we've seen the dollar strengthen against the real since the turn of the year by 4%. And so, with everything going on in the world economy, now the dollar's not the safe haven it used to be, but it's a heck of a lot safer than the real. And so I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that strengthen a little more as this Brazilian crop comes in. So just that's bad news enough, you know, just a monster Brazil crop, strengthening dollar, and our competition with Brazil in the world marketplace for soybeans. And then last week, the coronavirus outbreak in China, which is putting a lot of uncertainty on economic growth in China and in Asia. You know, lower economic growth in those regions, it's hurting equities across the board. There's a big risk-off scenario as anybody follows the markets at all. Huge drops on Friday, continuing to the day drops. Commodity markets, particularly ag commodities, are particularly vulnerable to this drop because of China's place and Asia's place and major world commodity buyers. So even though corn fundamentally hasn't seen much problems recently, we're starting to see stronger exports and everything, it takes a big hit. But soybeans are particularly vulnerable to this development. Big Brazilian crop, competitive Brazilian prices, lower Chinese demand sort of leaves us in a place where while soybeans are on pace to hit the USDA's projections of a little over 4 billion bushels. You know, we're going to need to see Chinese buying of soybeans pick up a little bit for the rest of this current marketing year to hit the 1.775 billion projection for exports. And I don't see them buying a lot in the near term, particularly with everything going on in their country right now. They're shutting down transportation networks, isolating cities. They're in the Lunar New Year holiday, and they've extended it. So I think for the near term, we're in this big risk-off scenario, and I think soybean prices are going to suffer for it.
What do you see for recovery? For instance, I'm thinking corn, mostly domestic usage with exports. Soybeans, that's not really the case.
No, I mean, we've had decent crush, and the last NOPA crush report for December was pretty good. We need to average about 175 million bushels a month for the rest of the marketing year to hit the USDA's current projection. That's slightly higher than what we did last year over the same period. I think it's feasible, particularly we've seen issues with Argentinian crush capacity recently. And so last week we saw big export sales numbers in meal and oil, but meal's still behind its normal pace. Oil's well ahead. But across commodities as a whole, we saw prices drop. Across the soybean complex, we saw prices drop. Soy oil dropped, meal dropped. Palm oil prices came down, and worries about energy prices and oil prices in general is pushing down soybean oil prices as well. So I don't think even expanded exports in meal and oil are going to help in the soybean complex that much due to this disease outbreak in Asia, China in particular, but it continues to spread. Now, what the economic growth impact of that is almost impossible to say at this point. It really does depend on how long does this thing go on, how bad does it get, how long does China have to stay in this sort of lockdown state. But I can't see a scenario where it doesn't hurt economic growth in the region and, as a corollary, hurt imports.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Mark Russo is now here. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, to help us take a look at the weather forecast. Thanks, Mark, for being with us. Let's start in South America today. We've been hearing a lot about the crops all season long. It looks like Brazil's got a pretty good size soybean crop that's beginning to be harvested now. What kind of weather conditions are they working under? And, of course, we've got beans in all kinds of stages across the whole of that continent.
Yeah, well, Todd, kind of from a macro point of view, looking ahead for the next few weeks, really not seeing any kind of significant issues evolve across the region, not only in Brazil, but actually in Argentina as well. Specifically for Brazil, the pattern over the next 2 weeks will feature near to above normal rainfall. Now, this is still the heart of the rainy season, especially in areas of Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, and Goiás. And with harvesting beginning across those areas, there'll likely be some delays and disruptions in harvest and some of the kind of initial, you know, transportation of the harvested crops. But again, that's not that uncommon for this time of year. This is still the core of the rainy season. It's not until March where rainfall begins to start winding down, but then the official dry season doesn't begin until May anyway. So they have a long ways to go. And at least right now, we don't see any real excessive rainfall over large scale areas to be problematic. But again, it's not out of the question. There could be some delays here. But in general, it's kind of like a normal or steady harvest pace for those early planted soybeans for the next few weeks.
Turn your attention to the United States. What kind of weather conditions do we have in the Midwest?
Yeah, overall, kind of quiet here for midwinter. We've seen a lack of any kind of major cold here recently. In fact, temperatures have been anomalously warm, even record warm at times. And for the next couple of weeks, well, for the remainder of this week, widespread warmth will continue actually across much of the country, especially here in the central U.S. It's next week where there will be a little brief shot of cold, but that cold will basically cool temperatures down to more seasonal levels here in the Corn Belt. So not seeing any signs that, like, the polar vortex gets significantly disrupted or unstable to bring severe cold here to the U.S. That's actually different than a year ago, where at this time we saw major cold coming into the Midwest, and we had that stretch of a record cold back right at the end of the month and into early February last year. But it's not the case this year, and overall a pretty quiet week pretty quiet next 2 weeks, both from a temperature and from a precipitation standpoint here in the Midwest.
Hey, thanks so much. You have a good week.
Thanks, Todd. You too.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find the agenda of our March 3 All-Day Ag Outlook to be held at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets will go on sale. It should be a great day. Get an idea of what that day will look like right now at willag.org. Brian Stark is now here from the Andersons to take a look at what happened. Oop, let me do that again. Brian Stark is now here from the Andersons to talk about the cash grain situation. Kind of ugly today at the futures market, Brian, especially for corn. Did it follow suit on the cash side?
I think the cash market's relatively stable. I haven't seen a decline, but we've been looking for basis to slightly improve here moving forward with the big break in the bean market specifically, but then also corn kind of following suit here since late last week. So our expectation is basis will firm, but we haven't quite seen a move higher just quite yet.
So do you expect that to happen?
I do. I think there's the end user's been living hand to mouth since harvest, and I don't anticipate that philosophy changing. Movement is being driven right now by quality concerns on the farm with the wet crop and corn being in the bin a little wetter than normal. I think once that subsides as we enter the month of February into March, I do think basis will firm as movement slows down at the producer gate and the end user needs to extend his coverage as we move forward.
So how tight do you think it will be for you? All right, and are you at overs today still?
Yes. Corn basis right now, nominally at Champaign, is 10 over the March, and bean basis is you know, unders, 15 under. So I would suspect that the basis side on beans has a little more appreciation value, so to speak, than maybe corn today. Corn historically is at a very strong basis today. I think it could get a little better, but beans probably have a little more upside on the bid or on the basis side than maybe corn does today.
What do you think a good explanation for why futures and cash prices are the way they are at this point for corn?
It's a great question. I think dislocation of stocks. I think overall demand obviously has been disappointing on the export side for corn. Looking to try and wiggle into that supply. I think the Eastern Corn Belt is very challenged given prevent plant acres as you get into Ohio and some parts of Michigan. And so I think that you're trying to move corn from where it isn't to where it is to where it isn't. And I think it's only a matter of time down the road that you may see more grain move from the Western Corn Belt into the Eastern processor. It's not happening at a big clip today, but I think that's the main reason is the dislocation of where our corn supply really resides.
So do you think that'll be Iowa into the Eastern processor? Because I can't imagine it would be from the Dakotas or at all.
No, it could be Nebraska, could be Iowa, could be southern Minnesota. I don't think it's from the Dakotas, but I certainly think Iowa is obviously the first stop, and you could see some other areas of the Western Corn Belt move or import, the Eastern Corn Belt import corn from those states just to try and move stocks along to get basis to calm down. I don't think you're getting good movement, like I said today, from the producer, but at some point that dries up, and we know that there's not on farm as much corn as there was last year, and I do think where you really will see those type of moves happen is when basis could potentially get explosive in the Eastern Corn Belt late spring and summer, where the good quality has pretty much moved off the farm. And that's where they'll have to incent that to move from the Western Belt into the Eastern Corn Belt.
Any thought on how coronavirus will impact corn and or soybeans?
You know, I think from my standpoint that right now it's just a sheer shock value. I'm thinking back towards 2002, 2004 when SARS came out. It really didn't have a lot of demand impact from my memory. So I think right now there's just a lot of fear in the trade. I don't know if overall demand will change at a high enough clip for it to be ultra bearish moving forward. But it certainly has added to the outside money wanting to pull out of commodities here in the short term.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right. Have a good day, Todd.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. You can find us and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. In fact, at willag.org, willag.org. And there right now, you'll find the agenda for our all-day ag outlook. These started back in 1991. We'll have 16 analysts there for you to listen to. Full details at willag.org.